Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 4. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Out of God comes, he does not keep silent.
Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the glory might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, O you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Well,
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Tells us to read the signs. The problem with that is that all the signs he gives us are generic in nature. Not only here in Luke, but in Matthew 24 and elsewhere, Jesus puts forth signs for his disciples to read and to see that the end will be drawing near. But the signs are wars and rumors of wars, floods and the roaring of the sea, earthquakes and other natural catastrophes, and so forth. There is nothing specific about these signs. They are generic. These things have occurred in every generation since Jesus ascended into heaven. It is not as though wars and rumors of wars have only recently begun breaking out. Human history is filled with them. It's the same thing with earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes and tsunamis and hurricanes and floods and everything else. These things happen and have been happening since Christ ascended. So what gives? How are we to read the signs when the signs are generic in nature? Jesus says it should be easy, or as easy as looking at the fig trees and all the trees. When you see that their leaves are coming out, you know that the summer is drawing near. And so, when you see these signs of the end, Jesus says you know that the last day is drawing near. And yet, again, every generation, beginning with the apostles themselves, has seen these things. And every generation has thought that the things that they were seeing were definitely the signs of our Lord's coming, and that things couldn't get much worse. Every generation pointed to the corruption in society, the deprivation all around them, and declared, this must be the time when Jesus will return. And that is precisely the point of why these signs that our Lord gives us are generic in nature. It is purposely so. It is so that every generation would stay awake and be ready, knowing that his return is imminent and could happen at any moment. You can turn it on the TV and see some, what I call, newspaper prophets who like to read headlines and say, oh, this is clear evidence that Jesus is returning sometime soon. You can listen to Christian radio and you'll hear all kinds of preaching about the imminent return of Christ because this, that, and the other things are happening. But I tell you that there is not a sign left to be fulfilled. Jesus could come at any moment. He could come before this divine service is over. That's the point. Be ready. Stay awake. That's the charge. Watch yourselves. For the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. The last day will come, the day prophesied by Malachi and all the prophets, by our Lord himself and all his apostles. That day will come as surely as his first coming came. They waited for thousands of years, and the Israelites grew weary. Many did not stay awake. Many were not ready, as we know when we read the New Testament, especially the Gospels. They were not ready to receive their king, for they had long ago given up on that dream. And so it is the same temptation for us today. It's been 2,000 years. Will he ever come? And the answer is, yes, he will. And Jesus' charge to you, dear Christian, is stay awake, be ready, keep alert. Thus do we rightly pray on this second Sunday in Advent, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. We pray for our hearts to be stirred up to repentance. We pray that we would recognize and confess our sins. We pray that we would acknowledge our weaknesses and failures. which we know all too well. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, that we would lament the anger and greed and lust and lies and gossip and thievery and idolatry that plagues each and every one of us. That we would turn to you for mercy and forgiveness. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, that we would stop thinking so highly of ourselves by looking down upon others. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, that we would see that we have no hope in and of ourselves, but that you alone are our hope. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, that we would fear your name and receive your healing. This is not just a prayer to break out annually on the second Sunday in Advent. This must be our daily prayer. We sin daily and much, and so we stand ever in need of the mercy which comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Contrary to popular belief, you are not once saved, always saved. You don't get saved on some date 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and then you're good. But you need saving continuously. You need the mercy that comes from our Lord every bit as much today as you did yesterday, 10 years ago, or that day when you think you got saved. We'll need saving tomorrow. And 10 years from now, we will need saving for as long as we live in this dead and dying world, or until our Lord Jesus does usher in that last day. And the saving that we need is not found within ourselves, but comes from outside of us through Jesus himself. If there's any teaching that has had, let me say it this way, probably the most dangerous teaching that has had an effect on Christians, especially in America, is this idea that salvation is something you do. That salvation is a decision you make. That salvation is something that you work up within yourself. That is the lie the devil tells. It comes straight from the pit of hell. For the devil would tempt you to look inwardly for assurance of salvation. But as Jesus himself says, all you will find inside is a rotting corpse full of sin and death. There is no assurance of salvation inside yourself. Your salvation comes down from heaven and is incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. Your salvation is the Word made flesh who tabernacles among you. Your salvation is Jesus Christ and him alone, who lived the perfect sinless life you failed to live, but died on that cross for each and every one of your sins to take them away. And that salvation does not come as you decide for it to come. Does not come into your heart. It's not an emotion or feeling, but that salvation comes to you tangibly and physically through the very means of grace that our Lord Jesus Christ has established. That salvation is delivered to you from the font, the pulpit, and the altar. There is your hope. There is your mercy and forgiveness and life and salvation. There, in the water that flows from his pierced side into the font. There, in the shepherd's voice, who preaches to you from the pulpit his saving gospel. And there, in the very body and blood, you eat and drink from the holy altar. So we pray with the psalmist, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, Jesus. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Turn again, O God, of hosts, look down from heaven and see. And so he does. He looks down from heaven and sees. He restores us again, bringing heaven to earth right now, right here in the divine service, where he fulfills his promise to be with us even unto the end of the age, even unto the great and terrible day foretold by Malachi and all the prophets. Here in his holy church, our good shepherd gathers us unto himself to forgive us again, to save us again, and to keep us safe through his holy word and sacraments. Thus, receiving these divine gifts, you can declare with confidence, I was saved today. For my Lord Jesus Christ, into whose death and resurrection I have been baptized, has cleansed me anew with his holy and precious blood. He guides me to where he stands ever ready to save me again and again. He keeps me in the faith. He fills me with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, not my own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, I may abound in hope. This, dear friends in Christ, is how you, sinners though you be, can straighten up and raise your heads at the coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with power and glory. It is not your doing, but his. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are filled with all joy and peace in believing, so that you do abound in hope, despite all your sin and corruption, despite all your arrogance and evil doing. For your Lord Jesus Christ has paid for every last bit of it with his sacrificial death at Calvary. In him, you are forgiven. In him, you go free. In him, you do have life and peace and joy eternal. So see the signs all around you. The end does draw near. Watch yourselves, stay awake, and pray. That is, keep coming to where your Lord Jesus is to save you and keep you saved. Continue following your good shepherd where he leads you, to hear his voice and receive his gifts. Do not be caught unaware by self-confidence and false assurance. Do not let the devil tempt you into believing that because you had those thoughts or did those things or said those things, you are such a sinner that Jesus could never save you. Do not let him tempt you into believing that how you feel or what's in your heart or what you think determines whether or not you are saved. Instead, listen to your good shepherd, who tells you unequivocally and assuredly, you are mine. You belong to me. You are my brothers and sisters, for you have been adopted into my divine family. You are my beloved bride, and you are fellow heirs with me of the kingdom I will usher in on that last day. For you are the daughter of Zion, and behold, your salvation comes to you again today. Come and receive it. Straighten up, raise your heads, and see the redemption offered to you here in the very body and blood of Christ. Be cleansed anew and filled with all joy and peace, abounding in hope, a hope that is sure and never disappoints. Or as we just sang, come then, O Lord Jesus, from our sins release us. Keep our hearts believing, that we, grace receiving, ever may confess you, till in heaven we bless you. Holy Spirit, grant this unto us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. us pray. Lord God Almighty, your Son raised us up as children of Abraham when he baptized us with your Spirit. Give us the faith of our father Abraham, that as we await your Son's glorious appearing, we may live in true repentance and firm faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Your Son's winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will come soon to clear his threshing floor. Lift up the voice of his church to announce boldly your saving word, that the many may be rescued from the unquenchable fire and graciously gathered into his barn. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As the God of encouragement and hope, grant us to live in harmony with one another, so that we may glorify you with one voice. Keep us from all self-righteous judgment that would cause divisions among us. Help us instead to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You have sent forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse so that he might judge the poor with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Until his appearing, grant that those who rule over us may enact just laws and faithfully enforce them, so that the weak may be defended and the wicked punished. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Fill the sick and suffering with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may abound in hope in the midst of their trials and sorrows. Especially we commend into your hands those who have requested our prayers, including David Gursky, Ella Shaw, Scott McCollum, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Pastor Dan Chambers, Miriam Sohn, John Lemmerman, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Pat Howard, Jeff Sherry and Logan Patak, and Lyle Cole. Grant wisdom and skill to those who care for them, that they may be granted healing in accord with your perfect will. And be with those who mourn, especially the family of Barbara Prue, who was called home this week, that they might be strengthened in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. In the great feast of your Son, you bring us into his glorious resting place when we eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do. In this holy and blessed communion, fill us with the knowledge of you, so that we might live now and forever in your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full.
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. body of Christ. Holy and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Prepare me for the face of all.
for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.